Good morning. I hope this morning finds you all doing well. Before we get started here, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here in your house to worship you today. Thank you for your many graces and many mercies that you have poured out upon us. And thank you for your great love. Thank you today that I get to give an encouraging sermon and not something that's kind of a burden. And I ask you bless our time together, that your Holy Spirit will fill us up and guide us into all understanding and truth. In Jesus' name. Okay, today we're going to be in 1 John 5, 1 through 5. I'd like for us to please stand as we read the main text for today. All right. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? All right, you may be seated. So there are three things that kind of stand out in the scripture. And there are some, I know you are familiar with imperatives and indicatives, right, with Pastor Brian. Indicative here is that you are a believer. And the imperatives are everything that follow in this part of scripture, right? It means you do these things because you are, right? This is a mark of who you are as a follower of Christ. And if you are not doing these things, then you possibly may not be a follower of Christ. Right? Maybe a reality check for some of us. So, we'll just start out with the first part here. The three things that really stand out in the scripture are saving faith, love, and obedience. And as I go through this, you'll see those things stand out, okay? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. We're going to talk about Jesus is the Christ, right? Could you pull up a slide for me, John 14:6, please? Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is Jesus saying, "I am the Christ." That's what he's saying here. The Christ means the one and only Savior, the Messiah, the only source of rescue that we have from hell and from ourselves. It's not an intellectual acknowledgement, knowing that there is a God. It's not a lackadaisical sort of belief, kind of belief that says, "Hey, there is a God. I believe there's a God. Yeah, I'm down with that. I understand that," right? It's more than that. It's a reality in your life. It's a real, true reality. Jesus is right here with me kind of belief, right? It's a type of belief that changes your life. Has a real impact on who you are. How many of us have ever had a new relationship with someone that did not change your life? One bit, right? I'm just going to use a dating relationship as an example here. Before you met, if you'll turn to your right or left, wherever your wife or husband is, and say Mr. or Mrs. Wright, right? Your life looked a little different, didn't it? at least before things got serious. So before you met that person, you probably found it pretty easy to say goodbye on the phone. You ever go through that? I know when we were younger. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Right? Spend hours on the phone talking. You probably just went about the things that you normally did without interruption before you met this person. You just went about enjoying your day like you normally do, right? You listen to songs and just jam out like usual, right? That's what I do. And you would hang out with friends and eat your meals and get along just fine without this person in your life. But then one day, you met Mr. or Mrs. Wright, and things started to change. It took a little longer to get off the phone. You longed to be with this person, right? You wanted to be with them. You want to spend your every waking moment with them. And when love songs came on the radio, you're like, oh yeah, that's us, right? And I don't mean to say that you're romantically involved with Jesus Christ. But my point is that new relationships change your life. They change the things you do. They change how you think. They change what you say, right? And even more so in the case of Christ. I've said before that it's impossible to truly meet and follow Christ and have repented of your sins and believe in him and be unchanged. Amen. It changes who you are, right? A Baptist way, it's also biblical, but I say Baptist because that's where I first heard it, is that you have been born again, right? And you have been born again. You have been reborn and repurposed in life. You were first born of a physical birth out of your mother's womb, and now you have a new birth, and you are a new person in Christ. Romans 6:4, please. You're a new person with new passions and a new heart. You're a new person with a new relationship to Christ and a whole different relationship to sin, right? It's all new. Romans 6:4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. You're new. You know Christ. You're a new person than you once were. The next part of the scripture we're going through today. Everyone who loves God loves those who love God. If God has called you to himself and you're a believer, not only will you have a love for God, but you'll have a new love for those that love God. That's what he's saying. You'll have a new affection toward fellow believers. The people that are believers are affectionately called what? What do we call them now that we're in Christ? We call them brothers and sisters, right? It's much more than a distant cousin or a great grandparent or a great aunt, right? It's more intimate than that, right? It's like you're living in the same house, brother and sister, right? It's a different relationship. It's a sense of watching out for each other, watching over each other. It's a sense of helping each other out when there's a need, right? It's also a sense of fighting with, well, that's in my house. That's brothers fighting with each other all the time. No, it's not like that. It's also a sense of being different, but having a lot in common. Just as an example, I went to my first ever Grand Old Bristol Opry yesterday. And although I don't necessarily like that style of music because it was all like real country kind of music. They were singing about Jesus. And you could see when these people would say the name of Jesus, you could just see that, man, they were feeling it. And so that made it good for me. So the point is, I don't necessarily like that kind of music. I don't care much for country music, but I could meet with them in Christ. And so I'm rocking out. You know, it was pretty good. It was a lot of fun. Matter of fact, I'd like to go back. Y'all should all come out to the Bristol Opry the next time they have it. Also, on another note, I like to hunt and fish, and I work with my hands for a living. You may not like the outdoors very much. Matter of fact, you may despise the outdoors. That's okay. I can still love you, right? Maybe. No. Of course, see, and you might work in a position where you never have to go outside or use your hands. But we still can have something in common. Those are just examples, but the thing is that we have something greater than us that unites us, right? It ties us together. We can ultimately, you can live quite a different life than me, and we can ultimately have the same common goal in life that ties us together. If God has called us, then we have a common endeavor. Our endeavor is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Amen. That's what you are called to as a child of God. And we have the same command from Christ to love God and to love one another and to make disciples of all nations. Jesus, you may have heard this before. Don't stop me though, I'm going to say it anyway. Jesus is the glue that binds us in unity to our brothers and sisters. You see, in Christ, the color of skin and the cultural background, it doesn't matter. I mean to say it matters to God because God can use those things for His glory. But it should not matter to us, right? We are called to love all of our brothers and sisters, whoever they are, wherever they're from. And not only are we called to do so, we're commanded to do so. And if we do not do so, if we feel no love for our brothers and sisters, but only contempt and jealousy, then we have to question where our heart is, and we have to question this relationship here, right? It may not be what you think it is. As a matter of fact, because it's in Scripture and it says it, I guarantee you, you have a problem between here and there. We are not only to love our brothers and sisters, but also to have compassion toward those that do not love our Heavenly Father like we do. This means less judgment, less contempt when the world acts exactly like God tells us the world is supposed to act. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Which means we should not be shocked when people don't act like us. That's the norm. Right? Those are the people we should be reaching out to. That's the norm. That's the world acting just like it's supposed to act. The world's a sinful place full of sinful people. And so it should be no shock to us when the world acts like sinful people, right? We don't need to be judging them, saying, oh, they need to be like us. They can't be like you. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They need somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ, or at least be honest about it and give them enough information where they can deny it, right? We should be known by our love, not only for each other, but for the sinful world. And this love ought to show itself by the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the lifting up of our brothers and sisters in Christ in any way that God has given you the ability to do. What I do is not going to look like what you do, right? I have different gifts and different passions that God has instilled in me that I can use to lift up my brothers and sisters and also to reach other people. And you have those same things, right? Not the exact same things. It's going to look a little different, but the same Christ, right? That unifies us. Verse 2. You don't have to go back to it. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Let me reword this a little bit. Don't worry, I didn't change anything. I didn't change what it says. So, and you can be a Berean if you want and check up on me. I want you to do that, actually. If you're a person that does what you know God is telling you to do, then we know that you love God. Okay, so if you are a person that says you love God, but then don't care about anything that God is calling you to do, then you can fill in the blank for yourself. I don't want to offend you. Figure that out. If you love God, then you love the children of God. And if you love God, then you will keep his commandments. Right? Those are indicatives, right, of who you are. We could do an entire sermon series on the commandments of God. But here are some examples of some commandments of God. And of course, we have the famous 10, right? Y'all go ahead. I'm just kidding. Have no other gods before God. Don't make graven images or idols. Don't use the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Y'all are doing well today. Y'all remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. And don't covet. I don't have time to go into each of those. Those are a whole different sermon, but... So these are the original 10 that we have. And these are the original 10 that we all know and love, right? But is this all it takes to keep the commandments? Or is there more? Of course, there are many more commandments. And so what we're going to have to do is list them all. And we're going to make a checklist each and every day to ensure that we have properly followed each and every one of these, right? Here, let's find some more of these commandments from Christ. I've got quite a good list here. I'm actually going to go through them quickly. Just real quickly, I'm going to try to go through them quickly. There's about 50 of them here. So let me just share them with you real quick. Repent. And these are all taken from the words of Christ himself. Let not your heart be troubled. Follow me. Rejoice. Let your light shine. Honor God's law. Be reconciled. Do not commit adultery. Keep your word. Go the second mile. Love your enemies. Be perfect. What? Impossible. Practice secret disciplines. Meaning giving, praying, fasting. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't judge. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. I wish I could go into some of these. I wish I had more time. Ask, seek, and knock. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Choose the narrow way. Beware of false prophets. Pray for those who spread the word. Be as shrewd as serpents. Fear God. Do not fear man. Listen to God's voice. Take my yoke. Honor your parents. Let me say that one again. Honor your parents. Beware of false teaching. Deny yourself. Do not despise little ones. Go to Christians that offend you. Forgive offenders. Beware of covetousness. Honor marriage. Lead by being a servant. Make the church a house of prayer for all nations. Pray in faith. Bring in the poor. Render to the government what belongs to the government. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. Be born again. Await the return of Christ. Celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're actually going to be doing that today. Watch and pray. Keep my commandments. Feed my sheep. Make and baptize disciples. Teach disciples to obey. Receive God's power. So now, we can go through these commandments, we can check them off, we can see how pride, how deprived we really are, or we can look at these things and see how much of a better Christian we are than everybody else, right? That's not the point. So let's take the first 10 that we went through, and then let's add it to these, I think there's like 50, and let's put it all together. Let's see how well you guys did. And I'd like for you to come to the front and share with us. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. But you see, we have a very extensive list, right? And we should take all of the things to heart. But in the next verse, we're going to find something awesome about the commands of Christ. We've been discussing what to teach on in the next few weeks in our Wednesday men's class. And one of those things that came up was anxiety, right? Everybody has to deal with that. It's a big deal. But if you want to cause some anxiety, then write all these things I shared with you down. And if you don't do them, then maybe you just don't love God enough, right? I don't want you to walk away with that today, with those thoughts. As a matter of fact, I want you to only carry the burden that our Father desires for you to carry. We're going to continue on in the last part of verse 3. His commandments are not burdensome, which means no anxiety for you, right? As a matter of fact, for the believer, we know that the Lord provides us with the Holy Spirit, which brings us into all truth. The Holy Spirit leads those who know Him to follow His commandments and to give us a good dose of conviction when we need it. Anybody ever experienced that? Not me. Yeah, I have. Hebrews 12:6. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastises every son whom He receives. He disciplines those whom He loves. So you don't have to worry about doing it wrong. He will let you know when you're doing it wrong. And He will also let you know what to do when it's time to do it. Here we have all these wonderful commandments, some used to highlight our own depravity and sin, and others to highlight the kind of lives that we should all be living. And Jesus says, "My burden is light." Right? It's a call to us. It's a call to yoke up with Christ. It's a call to hand your baggage over and say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow You. I will follow You to hell and back if that's where You lead me, because I love You and I trust You and I know that You are the only way, and without You, I have nothing." You want to talk about relief from stress and anxiety? There you go. Throw your cares upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He says, "Come to Me, follow Me, for My burden is light." I'm really glad that I was able to bring a more encouraging message to you today. I actually didn't know if I was going to make it through without tears, because as I was prepping, all I could think about was how good He is and how undeserving I am. And, you know, I may have cried a little bit. Don't tell anybody. But so now I get to finish on a good note. And thankfully so, because I love you. And I desire to see you all encouraged in your walk with God. So now we move on to verses 4 through 5. So for all of you that have said, "Yes, Lord, take my burden. I will follow Your commandments." He says to you, "You are an overcomer." I love this, because now we can focus on the power of God that is within us. What good are all the words in the world with no fruit? You are an overcomer. What is the flesh throwing at you today? What is Satan throwing at you today? You are an overcomer. That old flesh and Satan are going to try to press you down and hold you back. But you, my brothers and sisters, are overcomers. He doesn't even have a chance over you. The only foothold he can have is the one that you give him. Amen. Don't give it to him. You have already gained the victory in Christ Jesus, and there is no being defeated. It can't happen. Even if you sacrifice your very life, you are victorious. You will not be defeated by sin and death. You may be held down for a season, but you will rise victorious in Christ. Are you feeling defeated today? Are you feeling a little beat down by the world? Perhaps even your own sin? Pick your head up, child of God. Throw yourself at the feet and mercy of Jesus Christ, because that's where your victory is found. Can you feel his presence today? Don't hold back. If he is calling you to something bigger today, bigger than you can even think or imagine, don't be pressed down by this world. Don't be pressed down by this sin. Hold on to Jesus Christ. He's calling you to something bigger than that. He's calling you to something bigger than yourself. I'd like for the band to come up, please. So, how do I end this? How about this last section here? This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. This faith is not of ourselves, or anyone could boast. God is the author of our faith. He works within us in order for us to be called the children of God. There's an Eric Clapton song that the Lord put in my head this week. I haven't heard it in years, but it just popped into my head, and I thought, well, I probably need to use that, right? It's called Running on Faith. And it portrays this idea of, or at least in my mind, of a man who is kind of burned out. His tank is empty. He don't have anything else to go on. And so now he's exhausted everything else, and so he's running on faith. While that makes for a good song, and I do like Eric Clapton, the Lord revealed to me that running on faith for us should not be when our tank is empty. This is for the Christian. What we do at the start, not when we're at the end. This is what we do at the beginning. We run on faith. And he says, my burden is light. He loves you. He desires for you to walk with him every day. And he says, no anxiety. Don't fear. Come to me. My burden is light. Our faith should be in Christ alone. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We place all our faith, trust, and hope in him. Guess what? It will never, ever return void. There is nothing in this world that gives you that promise. Only Christ. There is no person, no thing that you can put your trust in this world that will not fail you. It will fail you. But Jesus Christ will never, ever fail you. These things have no substance. And when the end is here, so many things are going to burn up and fade away into absolute nothingness. Even many of the things we think of as good things. Our faith and the things we do in Christ will be the only thing that stands victorious. There will be nothing else.